Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of the Revelation of St. John. Now, we've been approaching this a little bit different than we have in the past, because we've went through this book probably 10, 20 times, and we're going to explain as we go. And we are now at chapter 1 and verse 12, seven gold lampstands. This recalls Zechariah, the fourth chapter and verse 2, mentioned earlier, in which Israel is represented as a golden lampstand with seven lamps. John is going to tell us through the words of Christ that the seven lampstands are the seven churches, 120. Therefore, what we have here is a vision of Christ, who is present in power in the midst of his church on earth. Now, 113, these verses contain John's first vision of Jesus. It's important to keep in mind that these are literary visions. That is, John expressed his insight into the truth by using images from Old Testament books, especially apocalyptic ones. John's description of Christ is a composite of the description of God in Ezekiel chapter 1, the vision of the Son of Man in Daniel 7:13, and of an angelic being in Daniel 10:5. Thus, in John's understanding, Jesus is the Holy One sent from God to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. Now, in 1:13, let's continue. One like a son of man, originally son of man, as used in Numbers 23 and 19, meant a human person. However, in Daniel 7:13, the writer says that while in a dream, the visions during the night, he saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. This would indicate that actually it's the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He reached the Ancient One and was presented before him. Thus, the term Son of Man came to mean this divine, cosmic, human-like personage whom God would send from heaven to establish God's kingdom on earth in its fullness. But this is Christ, the God, the God-man. After the resurrection, the disciples realized that Jesus is the Son of Man, the God-man. So let's get that straight. He's not just a person. He's God. He's Jesus. He's the God-man. A robe that reached down to his feet, as it says here. The average working person wouldn't wear a robe such as this. You can't work in it. This is a robe of a very wealthy person who doesn't have to work like a king. A gold cloth was wrapped around his chest. Ezekiel reported a shining brightness, the color of amber, around God's waist. And Daniel's angel in chapter 10 was clothed in linen with gold around his waist. In the ancient world, kings wore a golden clasp at their waist. And priests wore a sash around their chest. Jesus, God, is a royal priest. So we can understand that that's what they're specifically talking. Now, in one chapter, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, white as wool or snow, this is drawn from Daniel's description of the Ancient of Days, God, actually. It represents holiness and wisdom. The images of wool may also call to mind the Johannine name for Christ, the Lamb of God. Eyes looked like flames of fire. Daniel's angel, chapter 10, had eyes like flaming torches. This symbolizes piercing insight, something that looks right into your spirit, not just a normal eye that we see every day, but it pierces and it looks right into the soul. Now, in 1:15, feet were glowing like bronze. Elijah's cherubim had bronze feet. Represents sure-footedness, standing firm, voice like the roar of a waterfall. Ezekiel 43, chapter 43 and verse 2 says that the sound of the coming of God's glory was like the roaring of many waters. That's what Ezekiel 43. The sound of the humming of God's glory was like the roaring of many waters. Christ speaks with the voice of God, which he is. Now in 1:16, seven stars in his right hand. Seven stars. Here's an example of Revelation interpreting itself for us. In verse 20 tells us the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. To be in Christ's right hand is to be under his authority and protection. A sharp, double-edged sword was coming from his mouth. We've heard this before. We note in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Isaiah said says that the Messiah will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. This symbolizes Jesus as pronouncing God's judgment. The creed, he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. His face was shining, the faces of the righteous and of the angels are often described as shining with divine radiance. And there's another scripture that says that when Jesus returns, he'll have a sword proceeding out of his mouth to destroy the armies of the Valley of Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon. He shall have a sword proceeding out of his mouth, which symbolizes the great power and destructive force of the Lord Jesus, God himself. And 1:17 says, I fell down at his feet as though dead. This is exactly what happened to Daniel when the angelic being spoke to him in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 9. 1 and 18 now. The keys of death and the underworld. This means that Jesus was given power over the abode of departed spirits, which refers to the ancient Hebrew belief that the dead went to Sheol to await judgment. And 1 and 20, the seven stars are the angels, both the Pleiades and the Big Dipper are made up of seven stars, actually. The angels in a apocalyptic are always supernatural beings. So these would not be the leaders of the churches, as some have suggested. These are either the guardians of the seven churches, as Daniel speaks of guardian angels, such as Michael, guardian of Israel, or in some sense they are angels which represent the churches as they are now, while the lampstands represent the churches as they are meant to become. Each of these letters contain the following components. First, a single description of Christ drawn from the list of descriptions in chapter 1, which is relevant to the specific city address. And also a description of the church's good works, Christ's warning and or encouragement, Christ's promise to those who overcome, expressed in specifically to the church addressed. Now, in contrast to earthly forces that seem numerous, powerful, and bent towards evil, Christ is present in power among his churches. He is not merely the carpenter of Nazareth, although that is who he is. He is the divine one destined from before time to inherit the kingdom of God. He speaks with words of judgment against the evil forces of the earth. He is faithful witness whose life and words truthfully reveal the nature and love of God. He stripped himself of all of his glory and became a man to die for us. This is to inspire the church to minister and proclaim the gospel with boldness and confidence and with no trace of shame or embarrassment. Now, we're going to get into the letter to Ephesus tomorrow, but I think that we'll stop for now and we'll get into the letter to Ephesus chapter 2. So be sure and tune in. Go to our website, krciradio.com. You can download a lot of these, and you can also write to us and let us know you're listening. And just give us a little note. It's KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.